Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea.
The great lyrics of the late composer, lyricist Howard Ashman, who is profiled in the new Disney documentary just out from director Don Hahn, Howard, the Howard Ashman story, which takes us back to the developmental years of young Howard Ashman, takes us as well up through his extraordinarily fertile period doing the lyrics for such Disney classic animated films as Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin. Joining us is the director of the documentary, Howard, Don Hahn. Don, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thanks, Larry. It's my pleasure.
So you produced some of the work in which you collaborated with him, and how much of this was a very personal project for you to take someone with whom you collaborated and bring his story to wider attention?
Well, I think it was personal. Part of it is I just worried that Howard's story would get lost. It's been 30 years since we lost him, and there's been no biography or book or a strong piece on him. I wasn't confident at first that I was the person to make it, but then I felt like, well, I do have access to, you know, all the media and all the behind the scenes that we shot and his family. So I dove in, and the result is the film you see today.
What I loved was how we see in Howard Ashman's childhood him putting on shows for his sister, using his little toys and all. You see how he clearly came into the world as a showman.
He did. You know, and I think a lot of us are that way. You know, we love putting on shows as kids, and somehow we lose that along the way. Well, Howard never lost that. You know, he just got in deeper and deeper, and then of course spent the time to learn his craft and got his master's degree in American musical theater from Indiana University. So it's a combination of somebody who was born to do something, who really put the hours in to absorb himself in it all, and we're all the beneficiaries of that.
Like so many young people right out of college, he comes with his boyfriend and friends from Indiana to Manhattan to try and make a go in the theater world. And when, as is typically the case, you find all these doors that are closed to you unless you have some sorts of ins or connections, he and his small group rent a space upstairs and converted this loft into the WPA Theater. And share with us a little bit about that sort of ability to take something that looks well beyond capability and execute it so effectively.
Yeah, it's remarkable when you think about it, because here's a kid basically in his 20s, right out of university, moves to New York at a time when college students could move to New York and afford it. And part of a, you know, probably very bohemian culture there, where there was a really dynamic creative community, not just of, writers and dramatists, but of actors and musicians. So Howard steps into that and kind of bravely starts his own theater, mostly because he wanted to put on his own work. So it's this little second floor of a warehouse, you know, above a donut shop kind of place, and 99-seat theater. And that's the place, remarkably, where, you know, some of his early work comes from, where he adapted Kurt Vonnegut's book, Rosewater, and where Little Shop of Horrors comes from. So it's an amazing story, but also an amazing time, I think, in New York, where all this kind of dynamic creative culture is coming to town, because large parts of New York are derelict, and you can afford it, and you can go there, and there can be this kind of creative community that was really important at that time.
Don, let's talk about the development of Little Shop of Horrors, because as is made clear in your documentary, Howard, everyone around Ashman thought this was a terrible idea to take this Roger Corman comedic horror film and turn it into a musical. What was it that Ashman saw in that as fodder for his creativity to make it a, not just a musical, but a spectacle?
Well, he was remarkable at adapting things. And he had seen that movie, as most of us had, as a kid. Little Shop of Horrors is kind of a cult movie when you're 14 years old. And so it was probably something in the back of his mind. But I think the other gift that Howard had was he didn't just adapt it coldly based on what the Corman movie was, but he did these incredible mashups. So he would take Corman's movie and put it with like 1950s girl group rock and roll. And this kind of impossible combination of elements turned out to be Little Shop. And that kind of Dark Side of Greece sound that he and Alan came up with for that. And what's amazing to me is his theater was in this kind of derelict section of Manhattan, kind of Fifth Avenue and 22nd or 21st Street. And yet the glitterati of New York would come down there and to see this show in this little 99 seat theater. And it was a huge, huge cultural event to come down and do that. So I just think it's, again, that kind of artistic bravery, for lack of a better word, that Howard had to be able to put these disparate elements together and make theater out of it. And it was very brave and very successful.
We're talking with Don Hahn, a producer of so many great Disney films over the years, and the director of Howard, the story of Howard Ashman, the Disney lyricist who just came up with just extraordinary wordplay. But more than that, and you see that in the film, really how his impact went beyond just being a typical lyricist. He had a huge effect as well, even on character development. And Don, we should talk about that with Little Mermaid, the influence that Ashman had on that film's characters.
Yeah, once again, Mermaid was a story that was hashed by Ron Clements and John Musker, the brilliant Disney directors. And yet I think some of the characters were kind of traditional. It's a Danish fairy tale after all. And so Howard comes in and says, well, it's a Danish fairy tale, but what about if we set it in the Caribbean? And so again, he's doing these like crazy mashups and taking characters like Sebastian the Crab, who was, you know, kind of an English majordomo kind of under the sea character, and saying, well, let's make him Jamaican, you know, let's make him a Rastafarian. And he does that so that you can then latch on to all this amazing Caribbean music and you can have the fun and listenability of, you know, Calypso and all this kind of music that's connected to the ocean anyway. So it's just another example of many times when he would come in and was a great collaborator, but not afraid to put forward these kind of amazing ideas that would just up the game a lot. He did it on Aladdin again when he came in and just, you know, wrote a whole score that was very kind of Cab Calloway, 1920s Harlem jazz almost, with Alan Menken once again,
and it helps
Beauty and the Beast, which is more operetta. So it's that fearlessness that I admired and tried to put across in the movie with Howard, that fearlessness to just throw out those ridiculous, unmarketable, uncommercial ideas that turned out to be incredibly successful.
Let's hear John Musker, Little Mermaid director, talk about working with Howard Ashman and how Ashman pitched the song Part of Your World.
Howard was involved really early in this project, and we went to New York, met with Howard, and he, just based on the treatment before a script was written, sort of did a placement kind of songs, but I think he had practically written all the songs, you know, 5 minutes after he got the treatment. But he said, now here, say you had a song, let's just say it was called Part of Your World. It could be called anything, but let's just say it was called Part of Your World. And then he and Alan, we were in Howard's apartment in Greenwich Village, and Alan came over and played it on the piano, and Howard sang it and right there, and it sounded great.
That John Musker, the director of one of the classics from Disney animation, The Little Mermaid and A Part of Your World, how that song was pitched. You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPECC. Let's go back to Howard Ashman's lyrics and the music from Little Shop of Horrors, Suddenly Seymour, this performed by the original 1982 Off-Broadway cast.
Clean as the morning, I know things were bad, but now they're okay. suddenly Seymour is standing beside you.
It's Film Week on KPCC.
Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherazade had 1,000 tales. But master, you in luck, cause
up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. Some heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch, pizzazz! Your blue and house, all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say,
Mr. Aladdin, sir, what will your pleasure be?
Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Howard Ashman's great lyrics, Alan Menken's composition, the score from Aladdin, and so creative, the wordplay. And you hear Robin Williams, of course, in that tremendous role as the genie from Aladdin, 1992 Disney feature. We're talking about the new documentary streaming on Disney Plus, directed by Don Hahn, himself Disney producer for a number of films, including The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast. The documentary gives us the life story and creative development of Howard Ashman, the gifted lyricist from Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid, and Little Shop of Horrors. Let's listen to another selection from the film. This, to me, is one of my favorite parts of the documentary, Howard. It's from the recording session of Beauty and the Beast, Be Our Guests. This one of three songs nominated for Best Original Song in 1991 by Howard Ashman. Here, the film's composer, Alan Menken, director Kirk Wise of Beauty and the Beast, talk about what it was like to record the film's soundtrack.
Be our guest. Be our guest. Put our service to the test.
They were incredible. At that session, remember, it was both Jerry Orbach and Angela at the same session. I mean, it was musical theater heaven.
There was just an incredible thrill to be able to walk into that studio in New York and have this full orchestra and this full chorus performing this stuff live. I mean, we created the soundtrack for Beauty and the Beast like a Broadway cast album.
Don Hahn, that's an extraordinary scene. Angela Lansbury is a friend of our program here. Just how you see her and Jerry Orbach just take on these characters. And the response of Ashman and Menken watching this all unfold, a beautiful scene.
Yeah, it's a piece of film that's been sitting there for a while. And to be able to share that in this documentary is a chance to kind of get insight into not just Howard, but his relationship with actors. He loved actors and had a vocabulary for dealing with them that was really special. He was very specific, very collaborative, and was really able to take such amazing professionals as Jerry Orbach and as Angela, and you know, get them into these characters in a really special way. And I wanted to put that on the screen. I think at its best, documentaries are kind of voyeuristic and allows you to be a fly on the wall in places where you never thought you could be. And so to be able to just let that run for a while and sit there and watch that session is revelatory. It just lets you see not only the kind of fun and the energy and the amazing day that was, but just see Howard work. And that's part of what I wanted the documentary to be, is not just a biography, but also have it be instructive, because I think there's so much interested in musicals now and so many amazing people working in musicals. I think it's fascinating to see their process, and Howard's process was fantastic.
And Don, you know, so often with people who are gifted at the level of Howard Ashman, they're so intent on their vision being carried out that they can dominate the people around them. And that may well have been in part, you know, some of Howard Ashman, he did have a very clear vision. But how did the people who collaborated with him respond to his presence and to his ideas?
Well, I think you have to put yourself in the 80s when he showed up at the studio. We were a really young group of filmmakers. You know, you heard John Musker and Ron Clements, people like Brad Bird or Tim Burton. We were all at the studio trying to prove that we could make animated films too, like Walt Disney did. Whether we did or not, I don't know. But I feel like into that mix, which was a time of, kind of a young, hungry studio with some brilliant directors like Jeffrey Katzenberg and Michael Eisner at the studio at the time. Into that was Howard kind of threw a match into that gas tank, so to speak. And so it was a perfect storm of all those elements that came together. He was very opinionated. He was difficult sometimes, but so were we. I think we had to push back. But the thing about Howard is he was so articulate and so clear about what he wanted that you better bring your A game. You better show up in the morning with an equally articulate defense to what his offense was in terms of ideas. And he would listen. He was smart. He was funny. He was collaborative. So, it was challenging, but we welcomed it so much. Because imagine walking through the halls of our little studio, which was a warehouse in Glendale, and hearing Alan Menken on the piano and Howard singing in the room next door, these songs on Little Mermaid.
And you knew they were great even at the time, I assume. You realized the talent here.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It was in the air.
Finally, we have to talk about his illness because he left us at 39, like so many tremendous people in the arts, all professions, but the arts, of course, so hard hit by AIDS. And what was it like there at the end as he was trying to continue to work, but in tremendously diminished physically?
Well, it's obviously bittersweet. It's a story of this kind of artistic heroism. He didn't stop working. And in the room, we never talked about it. We never had a day when we sat down and he told us about how tired he was or anything else. It was always about the work in a really positive way. And so I think the work, in a way, was a chance for him to buffer some of the things he was going through in his personal life. And this epidemic, of course, was taking out the creative community and, in Broadway and Hollywood, and it was devastating. So it wasn't just Howard, but he was watching his friends and colleagues being taken out by the AIDS crisis. So he kept working. He was writing songs like Friend Like Me in Aladdin from his hospital bed. We were recording songs for Beauty and the Beast over the telephone when he hardly had a voice to be able to speak. So incredibly persistent and heroic, but talk about the triumph of the human spirit. Boy, he was able to hang in there and do his work in a positive way that I certainly couldn't do, and I think few of us could.
Don, in closing, I want to ask about you because you were a boy from Burbank, right? Your family moved there when you were a teenager, and I mean, you at this point in your career, producing these Disney classics, still as a producer, creating great content for Disney with nature films. Hard for you to believe that you came from the city where Disney Studios were at this whole career working with Disney.
Yeah, I am a local boy and proud of it. And, I would say, gee, my dreams came true, but I never dreamed I'd be doing this, I guess the thing is I always admired Walt Disney. I always admired his story and his persistence and his vision. And I'm no Walt Disney, but I just felt like he was able to pull a group of creative people around him to create some amazing things in the world and films and theme parks and things. And I thought, if I could do that as a living, how great would that be? And so my job really is to, find the best people I can and then do exactly what they tell me to do, to gather these amazing groups of people around. And I've been lucky to do that. I've been lucky to work with people like Howard and Alan and so many great animators and artists and directors. And if I can pull those people together and make something that's entertaining and uplifting and, put some entertainment out into the world, what a great life that is.
And you've certainly done it. Don Hahn, the director of the documentary Howard on Howard Ashman, streaming on Disney+. From all of us at Film Week, have a great weekend.